Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode, 68 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. Today, we're going to be talking about, feminine hygiene, all kinds of new options and choices. And before we start the episode, just know it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. Learn more about them by going on over to smartypantsvitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode and give us a rate and a review. Yep, I read these things. Want to hear from you. Feedback is where it's at. Feedback rules. All right, it's time for Her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life.
It's all about her.
Got a really interesting episode for you today, and this is all about something people never wanted to talk about before. Feminine hygiene, yeah, menstruation and all that stuff, and all kinds of new options. And with us to help kind of sort this all out is expert Dr. Alyssa Dweck. Now, Dr. Dweck is a gynecologist in New York, and she is a top doc in New York Magazine. And not only that, though, she's really a wonderful writer, a co-author of three books. V is for Vagina, The Sexual Spark, and the upcoming The Complete A to Z of the V. And you know what the V stands for, girlfriends. You know what that's all about. She's on the advisory board for Family Circle magazine. And you know, it's interesting. She's a really great spokesperson as a gynecologist, as an expert, and someone who is out there in the front trenches and totally gets it. Dr. Dweck, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So, you know, I was reading this really interesting piece that came out in, I believe it was USA Today and some other, you know, outlets, and it was really all about, feminine hygiene products. Now, listen, if you own a set of ovaries out there, you know that over your lifetime, you're going to have at least 500 menstruations. Ouch. And that means a whole lot of products needed. And the typical products have been sort of, well, how shall I say this? A bummer. And most importantly, they really have a huge impact on the environment. We're talking about a $5.9 billion industry in the United States and worldwide $35 billion. And it's really turned out to be quite the little political activist sector, as well as certain factions out there of female activists have been saying, hey, we ought to have feminine products free and available in government sites and bathrooms. And it goes on and on. There's a lot going on out there. And all of you out in the Her podcast land better be fully aware of this. So, Dr. Dweck, what is going on with this? Why did this happen? Where is this revolution coming from?
Right. So, of course, I am always going to focus more on the medical angles of things. But look, women these days, modern women, want to be empowered. They do not have time to stop their busy days and all of their multitasking to deal with their period any more than just trying to deal with it simply. I think that women and most people should be much more environmentally conscious right now in regard to the products that they're using. And let's face it, women want to maybe spend their money on other things rather than feminine hygiene products. But with that in mind, I like to focus on the fact that there are so many newer things out there that might make just having your period a whole lot less unpleasant than what our moms.
Well, tell us about them. Tell us about them. I'm sitting here. I'm ready to take notes.
You're on the edge of your seat.
Go for it.
Right. So here we go. So The Diva Cup has made a huge splash. Lots of women are very interested in this. Is a product that basically is made of a rubber-type material and or silicone. It can be placed in the vagina and catch a fair amount of menstrual flow, and then you remove it, clean it, and replace it. So it is reusable, and it is environmentally sound, safe, and women who are comfortable with manipulation are just fine with this and really find it to be a very easy way to manage the flow. Tampons and pads are still probably the mainstay of ways to manage hygiene these days, but, you know, we've seen a lot of organic varieties come out, things without fragrance, things without any dyes, so that they're more user-friendly for the sensitive patient, but also more environmentally friendly. And then lastly, and one of the coolest things I've seen, are Sphinx underwear. So this is
tell me about this. You know, I went to their website,
right,
and I'm looking at this, and I'm pretty blown away. So tell us how this works.
Right. So there are multiple different brands, I believe, of menstrual underwear, but basically the absorbency is inside the underwear. They're washable and very comfortable and ideal for women who are on the go all the time, and even ideal for women who might have a heavy flow, use products like tampons, but want to have that extra layer of protection so they're not leaking through and, you know, staining their pants or having an embarrassing moment, or they want to be involved in an athletic event and not have to worry about a tampon. So this serves multiple purposes.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I referred one of my, she's about, she's postmenopausal by about a couple of years. So she's probably about like 56, 57-year-old woman, over to that site so that her daughter can have a little look at it. And she wanted to get knowledgeable about it. And then she asked me a really interesting question. She said, you know, I'm postmenopausal and I have urinary incontinence. I mean, not like ridiculous, but she certainly has it. She's a runner, and she's found that running's become a real pain in the noogies because she does tend to, you know, have some issues out there as she's running.
Right.
And she was wondering whether or not Sphinx would work for urinary incontinence.
Well, look, think about it. The no pun intended, but the industry of bladder control pads is explosive, especially with, you know, our population aging and women being out and active. And so this is an exploding area. And I don't see why this type of product would not be helpful for that as well. And certainly a little more streamlined and, you know, a little more stylish, if you will.
Well, you brought up athletic events, and clearly with menstruation and all the rest of it, that's a serious problem. And, you know, one of the things that's really tough for women who are athletes is when you're out there and you're doing your thing, you're wearing, you know, you're half naked, you know, you've got like a super short shorts on or triathlon outfit or whatever the issue is. And, you know, the last thing you want is like a pad there. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And it just feels funky. And that's why I was immediately drawn to Sphinx. I saw in your bio, if I remember correctly, you're a triathlete. Well, so am I. And my favorite distance is the Olympic. I'm not sure what yours is. And
oh,
how
well,
long you've been
you're
at
a
it.
Better woman than I am. I'm a sprint woman. However, the thing about these Sphinx period panties is that they are antimicrobial, at least that's their claim. They're moisture wicking, they're absorbent, but mainly this antimicrobial nature lends itself to, you know, keeping things from getting infected. And blood, of course, is a bacterial medium, so that the risk of infection could go up if, say, you're wearing a tampon or a pad for a very long time. And we usually advise against that. But I'm not sure whether that is different than some of the pads that are used for urinary incontinence, but it seems that it would make perfect sense.
Yeah, you know, I'm loving this. I'm really going to put the word out there about this Sphinx stuff because I was unaware of it. And all I've heard from my, you know, fellow athletes is, you know, what a pain in the noogies it is to have this pad thing, because it kind of rubs and it feels funky. And if you're running fast, or Lord knows if you're a triathlete, like you're going to swim with it, not. And so, you know, there had to be a better way out there. So I'm loving this. Now, You know, it's interesting. When you go back to the Diva Cup again, you know, a lot of women don't feel comfortable with their own anatomy. Are gynecologists kind of walking women through this when they come in the office? Do you see that happening?
That's a great question. The truth is, I really don't see that happening. It seems there's really been a movement online to really bring up the Diva Cup and make patients more comfortable with the idea of it and even how to use it. And I think there's a certain person and woman who's drawn to that type of product, and it's not going to be that person who's really queasy about touching their own body and whatnot. So, you know, to each his own for sure. The other thing I just wanted to bring up, as long as we're talking about hygiene, are all the other products out there, not necessarily related to the period, but just related to vaginal and vulvar hygiene in general. Because yeah. I think we have been trained to think that the vulvar and vaginal areas are dirty. And that's actually not the case. You know, the vagina has incredible mechanisms to keep itself clean and free of infection. It's a very natural and delicate balance of bacteria in the vagina to keep things in check and keep the pH where it's supposed to be so that women remain infection-free. So all of these highly fragrant or detergent-like soaps and products are probably unnecessary to keep the area healthy. I just wanted to bring that up as part of the hygiene conversation.
Well, I think that that is a, you know, you took the words right out of my mouth because I had that written down because I wanted to get a little teaser on your new book coming out, The Complete A to Z for Your V. And that is for years, women have been told they have to keep that, you know, the vaginal area fresh, like flowers. If I remember one ad that was, you know, specifically nauseating. And they have all of those feminine deodorants, as it were, deodorizing and then detoxing. And it just goes, there's a whole list of those. And, you know, I think not only do they alter a normal pH and the bacterial flora, because we know all about our little microbiome, don't we? But what else are they doing? I mean, think about the talc stuff that was going on. Tell us about that, because there was a huge news development about the use of talc in ovarian cancer.
Right. There has been some association found between the use of talc and ovarian cancer. So the thought and recommendation now is to use powders that do not contain talc if you want to use powder in your genital area, and also consider something like a baby cornstarch with no talc. So that's an easy fix because we can just remove that ingredient, and there are plenty of products without talc. So I think that's a definite and a no-brainer. There are some women who can use all kinds of perfumed products on their bottoms with no problem whatsoever, but many, many people are sensitive, and therefore heavy fragrant products really shouldn't be used in that particular population. And douching, for one, is really unnecessary. I wanted to bring that up as well. This is sort of an older practice where that we may have eliminated a little bit over time, but women still do engage in this practice of washing the inside of the vagina with some sort of a solution. It's just not necessary.
Yeah, you know, again, I mean, it's kind of right up there with colonics and, you know, all the rest of that, which makes me crazy, because leave your microbiome alone. You know, don't insult it. It's doing a perfectly fine job of maintaining a pretty nice environment. And let it be. I mean, come on. You know, these are natural odors and natural environment. Just let it be on the overall. I want to flip over to something real quickly. And that is, as more and more women become, you know, physically active, one of the things I was asked, and I remember this also came up when I really got into my cycling with my triathlon, which is, wow, it hurts down there when you're biking, you know, and is that doing any harm, to that whole vaginal area, and what would you recommend? Now, I know that we, as you know, in triathlon, we have a smaller pad in that biking pants, the lower, you know, triathlon half of us, and then we have this big pad in people who do long distance cycling per se, which I assume is helping us, but are we really doing harm, like spin class, all of those things? Tell us a little bit about, you know, vaginal care with that.
Of course. So I think for the most part, the benefit of spinning and biking far outweighs the risk of injury or damage or harm to the vulva and the vaginal area. But with that in mind, let's talk about a couple of things that could be helpful. First of all, if you're spinning, it's really important to wear a comfortable short that has a little pad in it, or to use a seat that's padded. Some people feel more comfortable with a cutout of the seat so that there's a little bit of less pressure on the vulva, if you will. But more people seem to think that a very wide seat that's padded is even more comfortable, especially for longer distance. Now, of course, if you're racing, your seat may have to be a particular type. Using some sort of an anti-chafing balm might be helpful for some women as well, especially if you're doing long distance. So that might be a helpful hint. Getting out of your wet and sweaty bike clothes when you're done biking is really important to help the area to air out and prevent infection. And then making sure your seat position and handlebar position are comfortable, so there's no excess pressure on the nerves that run in the vulva and cause discomfort or numbness over the long haul.
Ah, yes, the pudendal. ouchie, when that nerve goes out. Well, you know, you bring up a topic that I rant and rave about at all times, and that is the mass majority of women do not get a bike fitting. You know, they go buy a bike and they get, you know, maybe some half-ass, you know, bike fitting. There's a real bike fitting, pay for it. And that means that, you know, you're not just sort of standing next to the bike and going, oh, well, you see my hip goes over here and back, and then that's all you get. You actually have to be on the bike. You go through the whole thing. There are people who are bike fitters, and it is worth its weight in platinum because, I'm busted. I'm a graduate of the School of Hard Knocks. In this case, hard, you know what? Oh my gosh. I have no idea, you know, how long I actually was uncomfortable until I finally sat down and realized I had to do this. It was worth it. And make sure you get the right bike and the seat. You know,
absolutely.
Men's seats are real different than women's.
They sure are. They absolutely are. And any good spin instructor is going to, you know, walk the room, make sure there are no novices in the room, and help to fit your bike for you if you're uncomfortable. So that's very important. Such a good point.
Yeah. I think this is all, you know, terrific. It's really important that we all keep in mind, right, that, hygiene there in your vaginal area, your vulvar area, is something that you really need to put some thought into. Take good care down there. And don't be falling to all these myths and believing that you have to do more than you really need to. Leave it alone. Just you know, give it its basic care, as it were. Now, in your wonderful book, The Complete A to Z for Your V, give us some teasers. What are some things we don't think about in terms of our vaginal health and the vagina per se that might be isn't that interesting?
Right. Well, wow. I talk about everything in this book having to do with the V, and a lot of it comes from years of practice and experiences and stories that my patients bring to me. But I think one of the biggest hints based on the topics we've been talking about is consider going commando at night when you're sleeping. This doesn't mean you have to sleep completely naked, but think about sleeping with either really loose bottoms on or men's boxers or a nightgown, something where your V gets a chance to aerate a little bit and not be confined, whether it's with a panty liner all day long or a tight thong or pantyhose or whatever the case may be. I think that's a really helpful hint.
That I read about just the other day, and one of my patients came in and said, you know, I just solved the whole flipping problem. What I do is I wear like a little, you know, chemise-y looking thing, you know, kind of a short little skirty thing. And this way I don't have to wear anything because, I mean, I'm pretty much covered up. I don't need any bottom. I don't think women have really given this much thought. I think they've been kind of doing what mom did, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, now we're really saying air it out, be nice and comfy. Okay, I think that that is a fabulous idea, but you said a little word there, thong. Mm-hmm. Talk to me.
Yes.
You know, good, bad, and otherwise, girlfriend.
Look, for most women, thongs are so fine, and I think as long as it fits properly, it has a cotton crotch because that allows for some absorption of perspiration and any, you know, mild secretion that may be coming out, and that it should be just fine, but you don't want to wear it 24/7. Some of the really tight thongs that have a very thin G-string that might really be chafing the inside of the anal area could potentially even bring bacteria towards the vagina and even the urethra and might even enhance the chance of infection for some women. So choose your thongs wisely. That's my general advice.
That's interesting. You know, they now have, I think most of the athletic companies, Under Armour and others, put out these fabulous, almost like you're wearing nothing type of athletic thongs and underwear per se. I use them all the time. It is absolutely the best. They're very, very light. There's no fancy lace or anything like that. And I find that women just like using them all day long instead of just, you know, with their tights, their athletic tights and the rest of it. So there's another option there too. So thongs are not so bad. Okay, that's
no,
a good thing. And going
so.
Commando. What
going
about
commando.
Going commando during the day?
You're on your own with that one, but sure, why not?
Ouch. It's a little basic instinct moment. Well, I mean, you know, if you're wearing your pants and other things like that during the day, I mean, I don't know, more power to you, I suppose. But I can only imagine that if you're kind of stuck in your, you know, pantsuit or something all day long, that could be kind of a serious bummer in more ways than one. I don't know. perhaps raising some of the same issues you've brought before. All right, let's just keep going. The complete A to Z. Give us some more. That was an excellent point.
Right. Sometimes the simple things are the best to point out. I think the other topic I would love to bring up, because it's such a juicy topic, if you will, is the topic of lubricants. Because so many women either are using lubricants and maybe not the right ones during sexual play, let's say. And I want people to know that there are choices out there that might be best for your vaginal and vulvar health. So I think that's an important topic to consider when it comes to vaginal health. So,
general, what shouldn't you do?
In general, what you shouldn't do is use a petroleum-based product as a lubricant. And I don't want to give any particular product a bad name, but for example, Vaseline or mineral oil. These things are petroleum-based and actually may increase the chance of vaginal infection. So I usually do guide people to stay away from these particular products as general vaginal lubricants. There are so many other choices out there, so your typical water-based lubricants, there are silicone-based lubricants, there are hybrid lubricants, which have a little of each of those characteristics, and they can really not only enhance sexual play, but really help with a healthier vagina during sex, especially for women who are suffering with a little bit of dryness. So that's a very important hint that I go into in great detail in the book.
Okay, postmenopausal vaginal health.
Absolutely.
All right.
Right.
Now
so
what?
The postmenopausal vaginal health is really, really important to consider because these women are often facing sort of the double whammy, if you will. Number one, they have less hormone or estrogen on board, so their vaginas may be drier just in general. And number two, they're so fearful of the dryness and discomfort that they avoid using the vagina, if you will, so things become a little bit more delicate for that reason also. So lubricant goes a really long way and is absolutely recommended for these women. Some of my favorites include one silicone lubricant called Uberlube. There is a certainly the old Standby, KY Jelly, or Astroglide. These are good water-based lubricants. There are loads of really wonderful brands out there. And some women use coconut oil, which has been a very popular alternative for the more natural crew, if you will.
Really? Coconut oil. Fantastic.
Coconut oil.
Boy, you can put that anywhere on your body, but on your face, and while you're at it, you might as well, you know. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's all over the place. I love coconut oil on the skin. So this is a good thing to keep in mind. I absolutely love this. This information is just ridiculously helpful. And now everyone out there on Her Podcast Land, now you know the book to get. Now, your book comes out June 1st. Right?
Yes.
And it's the complete A to Z for your V. And your best website is Dr. Dweck. And I'm going to spell that. So Dr. is D-R, and then it's D again, you know, just like D as in dog, W-E-C as in cat, and then K. So drdweck.com, where you can learn a whole lot more. Now remember then, all three books, V is for vagina, The Sexual Spark, and then, of course, the complete A to Z of the V. Dr. Dweck, you have just been a font of knowledge. This is just wonderful. And boy, I've been taking notes furiously here, and I've learned a lot myself. I know that everyone out there in Her Podcast Land so appreciates what you've just said. And thank you so much for being a guest on the Her Podcast.
Thank you very much.
All right, everyone out there, remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please, just take a few moments, rate and review this podcast, because we read that feedback and we love to get it. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD. And you can also check out our Her show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.